Come on, we're in this series called Same God, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. If you could turn with me to three places, don't know if we're going to hit them or not, but we're definitely going to Isaiah 6, so if you could find that with me, please. And we come to a place to hit the very character of God. And I tell you, in studying this and preparing this and going over this and praying over this, and I spent time here on Wednesday and Thursday just walking through the sanctuary and just an absolute quiet stillness. And then really spending time last night just reading and going over and just in quiet and just, I tell you what, and be honest, like in the preparation of this, there's chills that go up and down when you begin to study, watch this now, begin to study the holiness of God. Because when you understand the reality that God is holy, when you watch this now, when you begin to understand the reality that his very name is holy, and when you begin to understand, and I'm telling you, man, there's chills to this, to be reminded again, even through studying this, that sometimes I think that we can just bring God down to our level. That we just somehow, some way, kind of bring him to a common level of who we are. And yes, he's our Father, and he has adopted us as sons and daughters, and we have this intimacy with him and this relationship with him as a son and as a daughter, and he is Abba Father, and he is. But listen, I think there's a balance that sometimes we can miss, and I think there's a line that can be crossed to somehow think that he's common, to somehow think that I can use his name any way I want to. That when we speak his name, we're speaking a name that is above every name. We're speaking a name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. We're speaking a name that is unlike any other name. Watch this now. We're speaking a name that carries more weight than any name that's ever been spoken. And it's holy. And today is one of those deals that I think we're going to walk out of this place just quiet in our spirit going, have I lowered him to me? Have I spoke his name in a common language? And for me, it's just kind of brought chills to me to know that this is very deep and this is very real. But he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And his holiness is the same. And to find the word holy, there's a lot of definitions with one idea that the word holy, it means sacred or set apart. And then you break down sacred and set apart. There's the idea that a word keeps coming to surface through the deep meaning of this Hebrew and Greek, and it means other. Okay, other than what? Everything. When you begin to understand the word holy, it speaks of his majesty and his excellence and his radiance and his brilliance. And it screams the idea of who he is, that he is above all else, that he alone stands alone, that no one can compare to him, that there is no other God but him. And there's no other name to call on for salvation. That when you understand and break down the very essence of what holy means, it means set apart. It means separated from everyone else. That there is no one like our God. And that when we really begin to see the true biblical picture of what it means, same God yesterday, today, and forever, that he is the same God who stood alone. He is the same God who watch this now, who is sacred, who is set apart, who is other than everyone else. He is the same God who alone stands alone. And that no one can compare. And there is this majesty to this, and there is this excellence to this, and there is this brilliance to this, and there is this authority to this. That he is holy. That he is holy. Let's just ask God to just speak to our hearts. God, please move in our hearts today. God, this is so real. Give me the words to speak. God, I tremble at this, God. Father, you are holy. The very name Yahweh is holy. I am. Jesus, your name is holy. We need to handle this today right. Many of you just ask God, God, speak to my heart today. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Isaiah 6 is just a powerhouse chapter, one of probably the most preached on chapters in Scripture at times. For many, many theologians, many preachers. And it's this picture where Isaiah is a major prophet in the Old Testament. He was bigwig in the eyes of the Lord. God really used him, spoke through him as God's mouthpiece to the Israel people. Isaiah is a bigwig, man. Like, he's like, whoop, there's minor prophets. And then there's Isaiah, which is considered to be a major prophet. And then this is him. And only a few times in Scripture do we see where someone was taken up into the heavens and get a proper picture of what heaven is like and what's happening in heaven. We see it here with Isaiah. We see it again with John and Revelation, Old Testament and New Testament, and yet still a very similar picture of what's happening in heaven. I want you to see this because this is so clear and it's so good. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted. Look at the language here. High and lifted up. This is Isaiah. Listen, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofted and exalted, like he is high and lifted up. Look at this picture. With the train of his robe filling the temple, and seraphim. Here, these are angelic creatures that God has created. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, with which two he covered his face, two covered his feet, and with two he flew. Listen, church, it's amazing that God creates in a way of what exists in the atmosphere for that presence. A fish, God created fish to swim in the atmosphere of water. You and I don't have that privilege. Like, you need apparatus and snorkels and a submarine and a boat. If you go try to think, well, God created me for the sea, you're not a mermaid. It didn't work that way, right? You will die. A fish who jumps out of my tank, which sometimes they think they can fly, they cannot. And they get all crispy and dead on the floor because they weren't made to live in the atmosphere that you and I were created to live in. And then you see the atmosphere of the throne. And that which was created for that atmosphere were these angelic beings called seraphim. These crazy looking creatures having six wings, with two, he covered his face. He couldn't look at the brilliance. These are angels who live in the presence of the throne and can't bear to see the brilliance and the excellence and the radiance of the one who sits on the throne. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one, watch this scene. And one calls out to the other. And one calls out to another. And you have these seraphim, these creatures that have blinded their eyes so they can't look at the brilliance and the excellence of the one who sits on the throne. And then one calls out to the other, holy, holy, holy. And another one calls out to another one, holy, holy, holy. And then another one calls out to another one, holy, holy, holy. Now watch this. He's the Lord of hosts, the whole earth. It's full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Then another one calls to another one, holy. Oh, could you imagine Isaiah seeing this scene and just be amazed at what's taking place around the throne? Now, look, you got to understand, where in Scripture do we see one word in triplicate? You don't see love, love, love. You don't see grace, grace, grace. You don't see mercy, mercy, mercy. You don't see hope, hope, hope. You do see Jesus say, amen, amen. Which means truly, truly, or it means pay attention. Pay attention. But here we see God's character in triplicate. Holy, holy, holy. You are sacred. You are set apart. You're unlike any other. You are not common. There's no one who compares to you. So far above your excellence, your majesty, your brilliance, and your radiance, and you are holy. Now watch what happens in this picture. He says this, verse 4, and the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Verse 5, watch this. And then I said, he sees him here in getting this picture of the throne room, and he sees these angelic creatures flying around talking to one another, holy, holy, holy. He comes to this place to see the very presence of the throne. And look what happens to this. Listen, Isaiah, bigwig, major prophet, God's spokesperson to Israel. This is where he's at in his position. One who had such a reverence for God. One who had such a fear of God. When he saw the place of his holiness, look at his response. Is it anything like our response? Woe is me, for I am ruined. I am undone. I am destroyed, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm around a people of unclean lips. Look at what happens when you begin to get the real picture of God's holiness. The real picture of who he is and his excellence and his brilliance. The real picture that he is set apart. He is other than. There is no one that even can come close to compare to him. He is one in his own category who stands alone. And you begin to see him in his holiness and his brilliance. Church, I would say that it shows us who we are. That we would come to a place to know that we are ruined. That I'm undone, that I am destroyed. And for me, it comes to a place to remind me that I have been created by dust. Who is a sinner through and through, but by the grace of God, I can know that I'm saved. Church, do we play around with his holiness like it's just a word? Or do we come to a place to realize that God is so far above and he stands alone in a category that is uncategorized? To know, God, you are holy. And I think with that covers this real true sense of reverence. This real true sense of a fear of God and a respect that he so rightfully deserves because he is holy. I think when you come to the picture to see who he is, I think it reveals who we are. Come on, Psalm 99, please. I want you to see this as a picture from the psalmist. Psalm 99 says this, the Lord reigns, which means he carries this rule and he carries this authority as the one who this is all his kingdom. No one matches his reign. No one rules like our God. The Lord rules. Watch this now. And the peoples, what was their response to that? They tremble. See, sometimes I have a fear, and I can charge myself with this, that we treat God as common sometimes. We bring him down to our level. Well, I am a son, and he's adopted me as his own. That alone should put us on our face, church. But to never lose sight that he is unlike any other and that he is holy and that he reigns and he has his rule and he has his authority. When you understand that, there's something that trembles within in this biblical fear and reverence and awe and wonder of who God is. All of that wrapped up, and yet he knows me by name. All of that, he loves me. All of that, he see me in my filth condition, and he would send his son. All of that, and yet he's come towards me. Again, being very careful of the balance of taking that lightly, but it should put us on our face. That the one true and only true living God, the holy God, would send his son to die on a cross for us and not have a line crossed there. Watch this. He is enthroned above the cherubim and let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion and he is exalted above all the peoples. Verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name, for holy is he. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Now watch this. We got to park here for a minute because I think we can be very, very careful on his name. When you understand his very name is holy. His very name is holy. Keep right in Psalm 99. Exodus is going to be right up on the screen. Exodus 15:11. I want you to see this because this is such a great passage that you would understand. And it's all through scripture. You can see it over and over and over where his very name is holy. Watch this. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who? Like there's got to be this separation from God and everybody else. There's got to be not even a close comparison. There's got to be this idea, biblical idea, a biblical truth that there is God and there's no one like him. There is God and it's uncomparable. There is God and there is no other God like him. No one compares to him. No one can call on any other name except the name of Jesus, which is holy for salvation, church. There is no other name. That's the separation. And look what Exodus says. I love this. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Majestic, which means excellent, which means radiant, which means brilliant, which means authority, which means power, which means rule. All of that in the majesty or the majestic of his holiness. For awesome in praises, working wonders. Awesome in praises, working wonders. Why is it that we praise the way we praise? Why is it, and the word praise here in the Hebrew is tehillah, and it literally means with a genuine or an authentic song of thanksgiving. Why over and over are we supposed to be so amazed and so wondered and so in awe and so thankful to who he is? Because he is so far above and he is holy, but yet in his grace and in his love and his compassion and his mercy, he came down, put his son on a cross so that you and I could have life eternal with him. Because God who is separate, God who is other than, God who is almighty, God who is majestic in his holiness, had this crazy love for Sean Obergefell. And if you can get to the bottom of that, you know more than I do. I can't get there. Because I see his holiness and I identifies me. Watch this. Back to 99, please. And begin to understand. How is it that we treat his name? You know that Jesus went to pray and the disciples saw, man, every time he goes to pray, there's this, he comes back with this crazy, incredible, amazing, supernatural power because he's gone to the Father and he prayed, hey, teach us to pray like that. You know what Jesus said? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Even in our prayer, the word hallowed, it means holy is your name. And that, watch this now, that's not the part of the petition of coming before him. That's the command to keep his name holy. When you come before him in prayer, you're beginning to understand and realize holy is his name. Hallowed be your name. In every sense that we come to pray, we come before him and we reverence his name that is holy and to keep it holy during our time of prayer. Listen, even put it in the top 10. Right? You look at Exodus 20 and you go over the top 10, man. It's the 10 commandments. You know what number 3 on the list is? Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because it's holy. There's something significant about his name that carries weight to it like no other name. And he says, top 10, number 3 says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And the root of vain is vanity, which means selfishly. You see, we could think that it only means when someone cuts you off in the parking lot, Jesus Christ. And that may be some truth to that, because I don't know if that's honoring his name. Or you walk through going, oh my God, maybe there's some truth to that. Because I don't know if that honors his name. Watch this now, watch this. I believe that it really has a depth to it. Because his name is holy, and because his name carries a weight like no other name, because his name is to be reverenced, revered, and feared. How many times do people attach his name to their agenda? See, I think that's where it really means in Exodus 20, do not take the Lord's name in vain. It's not vanity. It's not for your advantage. It don't take it self-centered like. Well, the Lord told me. Can I just say, if you ever say that, you better be right. Because I've been over and over and over and over where somebody attaches the Lord's name to their agenda to put weight to their emotional idea. And it had nothing to do with the Lord's idea. The Lord told me that I'm to marry you.
Run.
Fast. And then have a friend, if he starts chasing, have someone triple. Well, you just attached the holy name of the Lord to your agenda. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. Because I think that we've lost place of his name. That his name is great. His name is awesome. His name is to be feared. His name is to be reverenced. His name should make you tremble. Because holy is his name. Psalm 99, verse 5, it says, exalt the Lord, which means to lift up, and worship at his footstool. For holy is he. I just want to read back up to Psalm 99. I want to read this. For the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. For the Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted above all the peoples. Watch this now, let them praise your great and awesome name. For holy is he. Verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. And holy hill here, it references being in his presence. And I think we can be real short when we really talk about his presence. I think we need to be very careful when we talk about his presence. Because, and I believe that his presence is here. I believe his presence, as we talked about in the beginning, is within us. He is in this place. And I believe here in the atmosphere of the room that he is in the atmosphere of the room. And we cannot say that lightheartedly. We can't say that in a sense of just to spark your emotion. Watch. We're called to worship. If we really were in his presence, what would our worship look like? What would it really mean to extend our hands in the idea of what it means to give him thanks? To be able to bless the Lord. To be able to get our face before the Lord. Listen, I don't know if you were at Seek on Sunday night, but it was the most powerful Seek that we've had in this church today. And listen, please. And it was because there was such an expectation in this room that we come before a holy God who literally hears us, and we are dropping our faith unseen. I don't know what's going to take place. Church, I'm telling you, it was something so amazing, and it was something so beautiful. There is such a presence, his presence in this place. There was such a level of expectation that I don't know if we've ever felt before in this church. It was amazing. But this is what happens when you begin to identify his holiness and that he's in this place, that his presence is in this place. And that isn't to be made common. That isn't to just do a flyby through. Something that is so serious and so real. To understand that he is holy. Get this picture of these crazy creatures in heaven going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. One last passage, and then we gotta close. Revelation, please. Again, this is the New Testament, same God yesterday, today, and forever. God's holiness is never less than, ever. God's holiness doesn't change because you have now become relationship with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. His holiness remains the same. The reverence of his name remains the same. And we see this picture again in the heavens. You've got John, he's taken up to the heavens and he sees a very similar picture to what Isaiah saw. So we get this idea that this is the scene in heaven. This is what's going on in heaven. I'm just saying, let's not bring God down to our level. In a sense where, listen, he will come where you're at. He will be with you in your hurt. He is the father to the fatherless. He will heal the brokenhearted. Listen, he will come to where you're at. But I'm talking about using him as common. Not ever losing sight that he is holy. And he is unlike. And he is other than. He's in a category all by himself. We see this picture where John sees in the heavens and his definition is just, it's intense. It's stunning. He says this. After these things, I looked and behold the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice was, which I heard like the sound of a trumpet. Speaking with me, he said, come up here and I will show you what must take place in these things. Immediately I was in the spirit and behold a throne was standing in heaven and the one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone. Sardius, or like kind of a blood red in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald, like green in appearance. And there was a throne 24 thrones upon the thrones. And I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And out of the throne, watch this now, came flashes of lightning and sounds of pearls of thunder. Come on, church, this is a crazy scene of what's taking place around the only one who stands as the only one, the very one who is holy. And I read this and I'm just like, oh, come on. He's not common. We can't make him common. There's no one like him. He does stand alone. This is taking place. This is the throne room. How powerful is this to know that there's lightning and there's thunder and there's emeralds in appearance? And I watch, he says, then I saw like a sea. He's like, I can't even define it. It was kind of like a sea of crystal. It was something like, maybe to best of record, maybe it was like this, a sea of crystal around the throne. Oh. In the center and around the throne, watch this now, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had the face that of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And there are four living creatures, each of them having six wings, full of eyes around and within. And day and night do not cease to say. Put the pieces together, church. Our God, who is majestic, who's excellent, who's powerful, who has all authority, who reigns and rules, who's in a category unlike any other. And this is the throne room. And these creatures do not cease to say, holy, 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 as the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. Day and night, holy, 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 and triplicate, holy, 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 is the Lord God, the Almighty, the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is forevermore. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is holy, holy, holy. And there's this scene today, now, where these created creatures fly around with their six wings, some of them covering their eyes. And listen, these are two different creatures from Isaiah 6 to Revelation 4. They're two different creatures, two different types of angelic beings that God has created that today fly around the throne because they have the proper picture of who our God is, that he sits on a throne. And it's amazing, crazy, crazy scene of lightning and thunder and a sea that is like crystal. And all they do without cease, day and night, is declare his holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Just bow your heads, please, and we'll roll. How does our worship reflect the holy God that he is? I just ask, man, if you're here today and there's an idea that you're like, oh, I've so missed it. I've made his name common. I've used his name inappropriate. I use his name day in, day out, and it's not in a sense of reverence. It's not in a sense of a holy name. I've brought him down to my level. Just asking that today you get it. That today it changes in within. To know that he is holy. He is majestic. He is excellent. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And how we come to a place to truly honor him in that. Oh, Lord, help us. Jesus, 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 thank you. Help us to get the proper picture of who you are and your magnificence. Let us walk out of this place in a reverence and a fear of you, and a deeper understanding of your character, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, church. Come on, amen. Yes. Awesome.